This is Jody Apple.
Today, we will address the third question in Genesis 3, the question we find in verse 11. And he said, "Who told you that you are naked?" After we complete the questions found in Genesis 3 this week, we will focus our studies next week on questions that are found in Genesis chapter 4. The six programs airing during the course of the week are already online at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. If you miss one, you can always find it online at our site, internationalgospelhour.com, freely downloadable in both audio and transcript formats. If you have any questions about this broadcast or any other Bible topic, feel free to give us a call at 1-855-IGH-6988. Or, if you prefer, you can reach us using the contact form at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. Let's begin. Today's question is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, which reads as follows, "And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" The context, obviously, has two questions. The first question is, who told you that you were naked? And in the second question, God asks this, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" We will focus our time today on the first question found in Genesis 3, verse 11. We spend a considerable amount of time focusing on the setting of Genesis 3, verses 1 through 13, in our most recent broadcast. If you missed it, you might want to listen to it later, or again, so that you'll be able to keep up with the line of thinking that was presented there. To do so, go to our website, internationalgospelhour.com, and if you're listening during the week that the programs air, that would be November 15th through the 20th, 2015, you can follow the links on the main page. If not, then go to the media/audio tab and scroll down to the heading, The Bible's First Questions, Genesis 3. At that link, simply click for the audio and transcript files. Again, today's focus will be on the first of the two questions found in Genesis 3:11, Who told you that you are naked? The opening chapter of Genesis reveals that the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, planned to make mankind in their image. Mankind does not look like God, not physically anyway, but there remains a sense in which we are God-like. Genesis 1:26-28 addresses that likeness from a spiritual perspective. There are at least five elements of our God-likeness that are assumed in that context. We are rational, that is, we can think the way that God wants us to think. We are emotional, we can feel, that is, love and hate and so forth, the way that God wants us to feel. We are moral, like God, that is, we have a sense of conscience that is God-given. We are volitional, like God, that is, we have will. We are free, moral agents because God made us to be free. And we can act like God, that is, we have the ability to behave as God would have us to behave. All of these elements affect us now and into eternity. There exists no definitive development, that is, no complete explanation of the existence and purpose of those godlike qualities that are presented in the immediate context of the first chapters of Genesis. They are assumed to be true, both from the perspective of the clarity and direction of thought that's presented in these chapters, but also from the perspective of the remainder of God's revelation. It's by studying that remainder of God's revelation that we come to a more complete understanding of the nature of God and, just as important for our present discussion, the nature of mankind made in God's image. What we observe as we read the scripture from start to finish is not only a fuller picture of God, but a fuller picture of humanity made in God's image. The picture presented in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is only partial. For example, I no longer look like the baby picture that hangs on our living room wall. It's me, all right, a long time ago, the same person that I am today, but the appearance is radically different. As we mature, physically and spiritually, we change. Physically, we grow taller, bigger, stronger until we reach adulthood. We also grow spiritually. At least we have the potential to do so. Whether or not we actually do so depends on whether or not we sync our soul with God's Word and God's will. We do not know what age Adam and Eve appeared to have at the moment of their respective creations, nor do we know where they were in their own spiritual development. What did they know? What did they know about God? What did they know about God's will? What was their level of love and devotion and worship of God in the beginning in the Garden of Eden? The answer? We don't know. We do not know the answers to those questions, not specifically anyway. We have no idea of the time lapse that existed between Adam and Eve's creation and their temptation in Genesis chapter 3. But something about the nature of mankind is presented in those opening chapters. Remember, God created man in His image to be like Him rationally, emotionally, morally, volitionally, and behaviorally. Though we do not know all of the details, the likeness between God and man apparently existed at a high level. They conversed, seemingly daily, and spoke to each other in a way that seems beyond any experience that mankind has had since that time. Additionally, we note this, that the earth was not cursed by sin in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Mankind did not endure the relentless onslaught of temptation every day, everywhere, and in every way. The perfection that existed then can only be imagined, as the details are just hinted at. God created man to be a partnership. Man was created for woman, and woman was created for man. They complemented and completed one another. They found fulfillment in each other, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Their purposes were intertwined. They knew no outside temptation. They knew no pride. They seemed to have the highest values and goals for one another. In short, in many ways, with the exception of physical fulfillment, they were human reproductions of the relationships that existed among the members of the Godhead. That imagery finds great depth in passages like Ephesians 5:22-33. Where the relationship between Christ and His church parallels the relationship between a husband and his wife. That divine/human parallel first appears in Genesis 2. From that point forward, it punctuates the biblical revelation for another 1,187 chapters. There is no exhaustive development of the basic components of man's soul that we identified already: rationality, emotion, morality, volition or will, and behavior in the opening chapters of Genesis, but there are hints. Man's conversation with God surely focused on the highest level of rational planes. The love that God had for man surely paralleled the love that existed among members of the Godhead. We see hints of that in John 17:23-24. Man's level of conscience before sin was unparalleled. The thoughts of men's hearts were not evil continually, as Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and following tells us. They were the opposite of that. There were no insurrections challenging God for possessions or for power. Their wills, Adam's and Eve's, were in sync with God's. Their actions, working in the garden, gave them a sense of purpose and of fulfillment. The closing verse of Genesis 2, that would be verse 25, says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." That indicates that something significant, namely innocence, holiness, purity, and righteousness, prevailed. After the serpent tempted Eve, through deceptions, half-truths, and bald-faced lies, Eve surrendered. There does not exist a theological description of the stages of temptation that Eve went through, but we do learn that from elsewhere in the Bible. James chapter 1, verses 12 and following, paints that picture for us very vividly. Desire comes from within. When it takes hold, a conception occurs. And as that desire develops within, it grows and ultimately reaches completion in the birth of sin. The challenge presented in James is one of enduring, that is, overcoming sin, not giving in to it. Eve was not blessed with the reading of that passage in the Garden of Eden, but she was blessed with something just as good. She knew God who created her, who provided for her, who sustained her, who instructed her, who faithfully told her what would and would not happen based upon how she acted. The word conscience does not appear in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, but when the serpent challenged Eve, she responded conscientiously and repeated God's prohibition, even strengthening it to indicate that she could not only not eat the tree, but wasn't even to touch the tree. Everything presented in the context indicates that she said this with conviction. But the strongest of convictions and the strongest of consciences can be undone by Satan's subtleties. The passage, "Who told you that you are naked?" That was the question that God asked Adam. When we read through the text of Genesis to this point, we realize that no one told Adam that he was naked. The serpent did not tell Adam that. God had not previously told Adam that, even though we, the readers, are informed by the writer of Genesis that they were in fact naked in Genesis 2:25, yet without shame. The writer Moses, who lived centuries after Adam, was not alive to tell Adam that he was naked. Nothing in the biblical text informs us that Eve told Adam or that Adam told Eve that each was naked before God. Apparently, their awareness of this new nakedness came from within, from the moral compass that God had placed within them. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 states that God had placed eternity in our hearts. We are not eternal, but some sense of God's eternal godlikeness resides within us. God made us as sentient, self-aware creatures. Who told Adam and Eve that they were naked? They did not need to be told. There was a personal awareness of their own failures. When we are fully self-aware, we know when we have thought something, said something, or done something wrong, either to ourselves, to others, or before a holy God. Adam, because he knew that he was naked, wanted to hide from a holy God. An awareness of our own sin must always be cultivated and never stamped out. Adam's and Eve's sin, as bad as it was, even though they tried to hide it, blame each other and the serpent for it, still pricked their consciences. And so must ours.